Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mock Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today, I can't figure it out either. It's Thursday, the 28th of January, 2021. I guess sources familiar with the matter have informed me of such. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Kelly.
Glad you're with me. low-key Brian today. Man of few words. That's going to be awesome for a podcast. I wanted to talk to you today about yesterday afternoon's event. We kind of previewed a little bit, I guess, yesterday, based on some research that we had that Charlotte wrote up about some of what Apple was up to with earnings. Because yesterday, at the close of trading, we had Apple's earnings report for the last 3 months of 2020.
Which is their first fiscal quarter of the year.
Yep. Kicking off with Christmas seems like a smart move.
You know, six of one, half dozen the other. All comes out in the wash.
Yeah.
One could argue that one would want to finish the year with your biggest year, with your biggest quarter.
Oh, true. Yeah.
One could argue that, but whatever. That's not how Apple was originally set up. I think they actually switched to that fiscal timing sometime in the early 80s. So, you know, it's been this way for a long time, right? Yeah. And let's see here. So Apple, it did turn out they made, let me check my notes here. Yeah, all the money.
Okay, good. Usually it's so only almost all. So I'm glad it was all.
Right. They topped $100 billion in revenue for the first time ever. And I think last year's Christmas quarter was like the previous record at $93 billion. Mm-hmm. But they not only topped $100 billion, they went to $111.4 billion, mm-hmm. which beat Wall Street estimates. I think Wall Street estimates were, let me actually look at my notes. Wall Street was expecting 103. So they smashed those expectations. They did... $28.76 billion in earnings, mm-hmm. and that works out to earnings per share of $1.68, and Wall Street was expecting a mere $1.42.
Oh, okay.
So they smashed those results. Mm-hmm. EPS was up 35% year over year, and...
What's EPS?
Earnings per share.
Earnings per share, okay.
Yes, earnings per share. And then the revenues were up 21% year over year.
Okay.
So those are all, you know, great bits of news. Yeah. We also said it was driven mostly by iPhone sales. I think Apple did $65.6 billion in iPhone sales alone.
Are you staggered by that number every time? Like, because I kind of am every time.
I'm a little bit sort of jaded by that at this point, but I am also always driven to think about the column that Wes George wrote for us in the early aughts, mm-hmm. where he talked about if fell below $1 billion in sales per quarter for everything, mm-hmm. that it might not be a sustainable company. This was obviously before the iPod was released.
Yeah.
And Apple was looking, I think Apple had a couple of billion, sub-billion-dollar quarters, and you know, he was pretty pessimistic at this time. And I mean, like, you know, to do $65 billion in iPhone sales alone, and heck, mm-hmm. Mac sales were 8.68 billion, mm-hmm. for Mac sales in one quarter. Mm-hmm. That's
kind of so much
crazy for this beleaguered company that is, you know, going to die at any time now.
That's what I hear in the back of my head is, you know, why would Apple make an MP3 player? Who's going to, the iPhone? That's really what they're going to call it? Yeah. Does Steve Jobs really think anyone's going to carry around that massive phone? You know, like, that's the stuff I hear in my head. And then the part that stood out to me, at least one of the notable pieces of news that we got yesterday, is that wearables is essentially the size of Macy's all by itself, just wearables. And when you think about wearables, wearables is just headphones and headphones and the Apple Watch. That's the entire wearables category for right now. We don't know if that's going to change. We talk about it a lot. But for right now, all they had in actual sales was AirPods, AirPods Pro, AirPods Max. Is that what those are? The headphones?
Yep.
The over-ears? And Beats. And I know that like Beats is a formidable brand on its own and all of that. But for Beats and AirPods and watches to be the size of Macy's is just very surprising to me. So
yeah, and watches, Apple Watch is driving most of that. Oh, and don't forget the very important subcategory of Apple Watch strap technology, which
watch bands.
Watch bands. It's very important. John Keats' favorite things, and I love to mention that whenever possible.
Hi, John.
He's listening.
We should take a minute and talk about watch bands. Well, because also one thing we got earlier this week was an announcement of a new watch band. So, you know, as part of some of the stuff that I think was mentioned at the beginning of the call, like they did kind of a roundup of some of the initiative, some of the justice initiative things that they've been doing, and where some of that was going. Like we got kind of another summary of that news, which we've covered here over the last couple of weeks, what they've been talking about. So I thought that was interesting.
And Apple Watch straps probably do bring a not insignificant amount of money and profits into the company.
I think so. The least expensive one is $50.
Yeah.
I mean, go up from there. Yeah.
Regardless, the wearables category is just huge. And keeps growing, and it is rather astounding. And I don't think Apple, I don't think Tim Cook, but I don't think Apple is getting anywhere near enough credit for continually coming up with categories that are becoming massive businesses in their own right. Services is massive, right? What was it when, do you remember when Phil Schiller, I think it was Phil Schiller told us that, or it could have been Tim, it could have been Luca, but I think it was Phil who said that
I think it was Phil.
They wanted services to be $50 billion a year. They were going to grow it to that. And that seemed kind of far-fetched at the time. And they're,
how are they going to do that with services? Well, at that point, like the services category looked very different than it does now. Because it was iCloud storage and not a lot else at that point, I don't think.
There was definitely more than that at the time, but I think Apple Music had already
hit
the scene. Yeah. But the point is, I think Apple did more than 15 or 16 billion. I forget that particular number off the top of my head. Oh, wait, no, I have it in front of me. 15.76 billion. That's, you know, essentially on track to do $50 to $60 billion for the whole year. And so, I mean, they've done it. They've hit that goal, and you know, we just kind of quietly moved past it. And it seems like there should be a lot of MBA projects studying the various successes that Apple has had in the last 10 years.
Oh yeah. I mean,
since Steve Jobs died.
Yeah. I mean that's part of it is what that evolution has looked like, you know, over that time. So for context, Apple Music was announced in 2015. And so we had just gotten it then. And I don't think the price has changed any since then, really. So,
except for that, it's also part of Apple One.
Right. But like, if you just want to go sign up, like it's $10 a month, $99 a year. The Apple Watch was also 2015. So that was what, like 2015 was when the services category was more or less created. And because I remember Apple saying like, basically, you're only going to get watch numbers when we feel like giving them to you, because all of that's going to be under services. And that's that. Like, you know, like all of the stuff that we wanted to know about, like, was only going to be if they were going to tell us about it. And so, like, the Apple Watch sold over four million, I think it was, in their first year. Because I remember it being sort of interesting that that was one of the things.
I don't remember the number specifically.
I just sort of remember being, wow. So, like, you know, the wearables category that we're talking about now didn't exist, you know, until 2015. And now 6 years later, you know, give or take, it's the size of Macy's, a nationwide history retail chain that, like, you know, kind of everybody's heard of. So, yeah, I find the evolution of that really impressive in that amount of time.
Indeed. Indeed. So I guess, do you have a sponsor read this week?
I do not.
So I guess the question would be, why the heck is Apple stock? It's not tanking, but it's down. I'm looking at the current numbers. It's as of this taping, we'll say, it is at 141.06, which is down a dollar, which is down 0.7%, which, you know, is essentially, you know, if it had been up a buck or down a buck, you know, it's flat, basically.
Yeah.
But, it, you know, this blowout quarter, once again, didn't result in the stock taking off. And there are some reasons for this. One, a big one, is that Apple is up 22% just since Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Right. That's a couple of months. Yeah. In the last couple of months, the stock has increased by more than a fifth. So we have a lot of the results that we just saw baked into the stock over the last couple of months, and really over the last couple of weeks. It's gone up like 10 bucks or something over the last couple of weeks.
Okay.
So a lot of what Apple just reported was already essentially baked in, despite Wall Street's consensus estimates. The consensus estimates are the average of mainstream analysts that are covering the stock and what they are predicting.
Okay.
But shareholders apparently, or investors apparently, believed that Apple was going to do even more, and they've been, you know, pushing the stock up. So when Apple announces those results, and even though they're blowout, it's kind of like, yeah, that's what I expected. Mm-hmm. You think of it that way.
Okay.
And also, even though Mac sales were up, I think it was 21% year over year. In September, they were up 29%. So I think folks might have been looking for some even stronger Mac sales.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, especially with you know, back to school and in full swing, and you know, people buying for the pandemic, and of course Apple has its new M1 Max and stuff. I think that some investors might well have been wanting wanting Apple to do even more. Mm-hmm.
That it'd be a bit more than what they ended up actually.
Yeah, doing. More than the stellar results that they did. So, and again, another way to think of that is that investors had already baked in perhaps a bit more results for that.
Okay.
That was already reflected in the price before Apple announced its earnings, and there you have that. Now, we also have the reality that Apple continued to not offer any guidance, right? Apple stopped offering guidance for the next quarter back in, I think, during the March quarter because of the pandemic. And, you know, everything shutting down, and, you know, no one was really sure what was going to happen. And Apple basically said, hey, we don't know what's going to happen, so we're not going to offer any guidance.
Yeah.
And then they just, you know, like every quarter, just been knocking it out of the park. And it's conceivable that investors were really hoping that, hey, it's a new fiscal year. You know, we've got some, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel in the pandemic. And of course, Apple keeps having these great results. So maybe they're going to resume giving guidance. And Apple did not. Mm-hmm. And that could be making people a little bit cranky.
Yeah, I could see that.
So, but the biggest thing being that in the last couple of months, the stock had already risen 22% and was already looking for some great results this quarter. They got great results, but it wasn't enough for folks to go. Like, there's nothing that Apple said in its conference call or in its earnings announcements that leads folks to believe that the next year is going to specifically be even more. And, okay. You know, the stock price is always about what a company is going to do next, not about what it's already done.
Okay. Interesting. And I'm, mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and part of that is one of the things that, like, specifically I wanted to talk to you about, because I do find it, generally, I find it kind of confusing that we get these amazing results and, you know, and a lot of times the stock, the reaction, you know, just to look at the stock numbers like, eh, you know, best quarter ever, crushed it over the same number from last year, you know, whatever it is, like, take your pick, you know, however you slice and dice this, like, Apple's doing better than Apple has ever done, you know, in this quarter with Macs, with wearables, with whatever it is. And it always seems like the stock price is kind of like, okay. So,
well, Apple has long sort of had a buy on the rumor, sell on the news kind of cycle.
Yeah.
A lot of companies do. That has certainly been true for Apple. And I think that's one of the things that we saw here too. Mm-hmm. Except for even the sell is not a huge sell. So, you know, Apple didn't, there's also the concept of investors wanting to take some profits off the table, like book those profits. So by, you know, selling a stock when it's up, now you can, you know, you have those profits and then, you know, the stock is going to retreat. You can, you know, buy even more shares, M-O-A-R is how that would be spelled. that could well have been happening too, but dropping a buck, you know, or maybe a percent and a half, maybe right now I just refreshed it to $1.23. Mm-hmm. So it's 0.87% instead of 0.7%. That's essentially flat. That's not a huge correction. That's not a bunch of people taking profits off the table or anything like that. So in all, I would say bully for Apple. Oh, and I do own a very tiny stake in Apple. For full disclosure's sake,
and I was going to add that if you hadn't gotten there. The other part of that I want to point out is what is, like, we talked about it changing $1.23, but what is the price of a share of Apple stock right now?
Oh, I thought I mentioned that. At this moment, it is $140.83.
$140. So keep that in mind. Like, that's another piece of, I think that's another piece of this that sometimes gets changed. Like, you know, we talk about how much it changes or whatever. And, you know, like, you know, it takes a significant change in order for it to, you know, change the value of the stock. Like, Apple stock dropped 10%. Like, that's not even a dollar. So, you know, that's the kind of thing we have to kind of, you know, you have to add a little context sometimes for those numbers. Yeah, and
the market cap is currently, where is that? $2.4 trillion.
Yeah.
$2.4 trillion.
Can you hear Brian holding his pinky to the corner of his mouth when he says
that?
Yeah,
it's just crazy. They returned,
it's super villain money.
Returned $30 billion to shareholders during the quarter. Mm-hmm. Apple's working on this thing where they want to be net cash neutral, meaning that new cash coming in is pretty much matched by the cash going out to shareholders.
Okay.
So, you know, like, and I think they added $38 billion in cash in the quarter.
Goodness sakes.
So it's just so much money. Like, Apple has, like, there's nothing that Apple couldn't do if it didn't, you know, if it wants to do it. Mm-hmm. There's no company in the world that they couldn't buy.
Yeah.
There's no. I mean, there's lots of countries that Apple could probably negotiate to buy.
This is true. I mean, well, like, you know, like I said, like, in 6 years, they've gone from zero to Macy's just with, you know, the watch and the headphones. So there's a whole lot to that. When Apple does negotiate to buy a company, you can be sure we'll talk about it here. But until then, that's going to do it for us today. So, Brian, thank you so much for joining me today to explain the stock stuff, because I always have kind of a hard time reconciling some of these. So I'm glad I'm always glad when you come take us to stock school, because I appreciate the context.
You're very welcome, Kelly. Good to be here. Thank you for having us. Thank you for having me. It's all about me.
Me. I'm your host, Kelly Gamott. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.